You are listening to the Novel Universe Podcast, a monthly YA lit podcast hosted by Dawn Abrin and Elise Martinez, YA librarians from the Chicagoland area. Each episode features reviews and rants on new and upcoming YA books. We are here to help you navigate your TBR pile, what's good, what's bad, and everything in between. I'm Elise, the rejecter of romance.
And I'm Dawn, the criticizer of books.
So turn up the volume, here we go. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Novel Universe podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts. It's like, what is mine called again? Yikes. Today we've got a fun cold open. At least I think it's fun. We're going to be doing literary horoscopes. And this is a tag that we saw from the Stripped Coverlet channel on YouTube. Check those guys out. Their videos are really good. They really talk about books with intention, and they have a lot of good things to say, but I really enjoy hearing their criticism.
They really critique a book to death.
Yes, they do. So if that's your thing, go check it out. But they introduced this literary horoscopes tag that's original to their channel, and we wanted to do it on our podcast. So okay. Dawn's going to go first. We each took six signs. There are 12 total. And basically what we did is we took the personality traits of each sign and assigned a book to it that we felt exemplified those traits.
Okay.
And go.
So mine was Aries. That was first. And that is frank and direct. This book is uniquely its own, both in originality and voice. So I tried to use underrated books or...
Throne of Glass.
I try to stay away from the really, really, really popular books. So for Aries, I chose Vicious by V.E. Schwab. This is new adult. The characters are in college. And I chose it mostly because of the originality and the voice. If you have not read it, it is about two college roommates. And they are setting out to try to become superheroes. And they discover a way to become superheroes. One of them kind of takes it and develops a god complex, and he kind of goes around and says, well, you're a bad guy, so therefore I'm judge and jury, and I'm going to kill you. And he sets his friend up for failure, and he sends him to jail. So when he comes out of jail, he's out for revenge, and he also has superpowers. So it's about these two anti-heroes, if you will, which is original. Usually books have a hero and an anti-hero, or a hero and a villain. And this one, you're not sure who to root for because they're both pretty bad, but you do eventually choose one. But it's a really good book. It is a duology. Vicious is book one, and I can't remember book two. I suck.
That's great. All right, I'll do my first. We can go back and forth. My first one is Scorpio, and that's an intimidating text that took a while for you to conquer, but you're glad that you did. And for this one, I chose Nevernight, both because it had a very Scorpio vibe, like that kind of like dark, slightly gothic, like definitely intimidating. This was a book I was not interested in reading because it's not that I wasn't interested in reading it, actually. It just wasn't on my radar. Dawn recommended it to me, and it's about this girl. What's her name?
Mia.
Thank you.
We do our research.
As I'm saying that, I'm like, I literally wrote the title and nothing else. Yeah. Like, what was I planning on saying? Anyway, Mia is... She eventually finds herself as an assassin in training for this church of death.
Yeah.
More or less. That's all I'll say about it. And she is a very, like... She's a very Scorpio-esque character. She's out there. She's dark. She's got, like, this hidden side to herself. And I just thought that was a really perfect combo. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So I think my next one I did wrong.
Uh-oh.
It was Cancer, a book you didn't care for at first, but the ideas it implanted within you made you read it again. So I also chose Nevernight. But I went by the description where it says a book you didn't care for at first. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into astrology as much as Elise is, so I'm just like, I don't know.
No, it's totally up for your interpretation. Okay. There's no right or wrong here.
All right, so I chose Nevernight by Jay Kristoff. Elise already did the synopsis, so I won't. But I chose it because I basically pick my books on if other people recommend them. I'm not too original in books I pick. If it has a high rating on Goodreads, chances are I'm going to read it. And it did, and I heard a lot of people talking about it, so I gave it a try. And I got to a certain point. There is a very graphic sex scene. And I'm like, I thought it was YA, and I cannot read sex in YA because it's creepy. So I put it down, I put it away, I was like, I'm not going to read this. And I did some research and found out it was an adult. And then I picked it back up, and I was like, hello. So this is like totally changed my mindset because it's an adult book. So that's why I chose it, because I originally just like got a quarter of the way through and was just like, yeah, I'm not going to read this. And then I picked it back up again. I'm glad I did, because it's a great series.
It's really good.
It will be finished in October, I believe. Dark Dawn comes out, third book. So if you're looking for a really good, mature fantasy, then yeah, you should pick that one up.
All right. My next one is Pisces, which Stripped coverlet described as lighthearted and fun, an easy book to read. You were able to sit and finish it in a single setting. As someone who pays attention to astrology, I have to politely disagree with this description of a Pisces. We seem lighthearted and fun, but we're not. At first, that's like our appearance of like, oh, these people are really easygoing, they're nice, blah, 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 but we have a lot going on under the surface. So I chose a book a little bit more on that side of the interpretation of the Pisces, and I chose In the Neighborhood of True by Susan Kaplan Carlton. I read this book earlier this year, and I really liked this book. It seems like a straightforward historical fiction, teen historical fiction with a romance thrown in. And the cover is like pink, and it's got flowers on it, so yeah. It's got all these appearances of a lighthearted book. But when you get into the story, it like really uncovers anti-Semitism and racism in the South, and it's about this girl, I cannot remember her I'm horrible with character first names, clearly, but she moves from New York City with her mother and her sister after their father dies, and they kind of start over by living with her mother's parents. And they basically, it becomes very apparent that if she wants to fit in here, or if she wants to be successful here, she needs to hide her Jewish faith and culture, and that obviously causes conflict in the story. I also liked this book because it diverged from typical teen tropes of where, like, the teen gives up a lot for their love interest, and, you know, the teen struggles with their religion, but, like, doesn't really have a solution that I feel is realistic to that character. And it did a lot of things that I appreciated reading in the story. So that's my interpretation of a Pisces read. Lighthearted and fun, but stuff happening under the surface.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Okay.
So my next one is Libra, a book that tackled a number of different subjects and brought them together in a grand, harmonious fashion. I am a Libra. I don't know how accurate that is. But the book I chose was All the Crooked Saints by Maggie Stiefvater. I chose this because, first of all, let me backtrack. It didn't get a lot of love as Maggie Stiefvater deserves because of her popularity with Raven Boys. It suffered from the book toxic, YA book toxic, you know.
Oh, the toxic YA community. Yeah.
So even before the book was published, people were like, this is offensive because she's a white woman and she's writing about Mexicans and she shouldn't do that. And before that, they were blasting the Raven Boys because they had no diversity. And so then she did a book that had featured all Mexican characters, and everybody was like shitting on her over that. I am not Mexican, but I didn't feel like it was offensive. She at no time did any stereotypes or anything. The characters were, I believe they were Catholic, and they were Mexican. It was not more historical fiction, but it did have some historical fiction elements into it. So if you get a chance, I would say read All the Crooked Saints, especially if you like a deeper thinker book and not fluff. So I chose this because it does tackle a number of subjects. This book is about a family of saints, and the main saint, Daniel, people come to them because they have problems and they need help. And so what Daniel does is he makes them wear their problems on their sleeve. So there is a priest, and he has a coyote head, and I believe he was a womanizer, if I'm not mistaken. Then there's a guy who is self-absorbed, and so he literally turns him into a giant. And so these people have to figure out their own problems without any interference from Daniel. But he falls in love with one of the pilgrims, and then all hell breaks loose. He runs away, and his family tries to find them. But there are other supporting characters who have their own thing going on. It's not contemporary, obviously, because they're saints, and it's kind of magical, paranormal. There are a lot of themes, even on the cover. There's a lot going on in this book, and if you do like to pick books apart, or if you have a book club or something, it's a really good book. So mm-hmm. I encourage you to check it out.
My next pick is for Gemini, which is described here as quick-witted, handsome, and an all-around delight. And again, I slightly diverged from that. They are quick-witted, but I wanted to also include their sort of duality, their dual nature. Gemini are twins, so there's like often two sides to these people, and they're also very curious and inquisitive. So I chose The Gilded Wolves by Roshni Chokshi. This book is told from like six different perspectives, so there's that kind of like dual side to the overall plot of what's happening. You get everyone's different perspective. But it's about a group of like artifact hunters, if you will. They each contribute a different skill, background, and like body of experience and wealth of knowledge. And they are looking for an ancient artifact that basically, to boil it down, this is a very complex plot, but to boil it down, it basically guarantees like immortality and like godlike status. And each has a very particular reason why they're a part of this crew. They're not necessarily looking for the artifact to use it for their own immortality, but to write a like past, or to write something that happened in the past. And so I really liked the inquisitive nature in this book comes out, because you learn a lot about antiquity, and the book is set in, like, the Belle Epoque era in Paris, so, like, turn of the century Paris. They are all, like, readers, and they like to study history, and if you're into that kind of thing, it's kind of like Indiana Jones meets Six of Crows a little bit. If that's your thing, you will really like this book. But that's my pick for Gemini.
All right, Capricorn, a book that followed all the right steps, you knew it would be good, and it faithfully delivered. Much to Elisa's chagrin, I chose The Lie Tree by Frances Hardinge. I had read...
Wait, I'm sorry, what sign is this for?
Capricorn.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
I read her first book, I'm looking at the cover and I cannot remember the name of it. I didn't like it, but there was something there. I could tell she was a good writer. So I was like, okay, let me try her next book, because I had a feeling it was going to be pretty good. And it was. I know, like, Elise had an issue with the main character. She wasn't a likable character. I think that was intentional. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's a very dark book. The girl, the main character, is... She's not a fun time. Mm-hmm. She's very much in her head. Her mom is pretty awful. Her dad uses her. Her brother is, I believe, he has some kind of disability, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But it's basically about lies and gossip and how it can eat away at relationships and your life. So I thought it was a pretty interesting way of, she kind of ties some religion in there. Was it Victorian?
Like, yeah, because early 1900s? Like Darwin was just coming on the scene, yeah. And people were really opioids, starting to leave religion. Opium,
yeah. So yeah, it is kind of historical fiction in a way. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on there. It is very dark. Although the main character is 12, it is not a middle grade book. She tends to do that. Her main characters are always like 11 and
like
12
right
and
on
9.
The cusp of teendom.
But they're not kid books. Mm-hmm. They're I don't even consider a teen book. I don't think a teen could literally get through her books.
They're intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's The Lie Tree by Frances Hardinge.
All right. My next one, is Virgo, and I chose this, it's sophisticated and intelligent, and stripped coverlet said a nonfiction book that pushed you to learn something new. I did not pick a nonfiction book. I chose a YA fiction book that pushed me to learn something new and consider a new viewpoint on something, and I chose A Heart and a Body in the World by Deb Colletti. This book was very intelligent because of some of the themes that it explored around responsibility in terms of, like, what do you owe someone else in a social interaction that you don't feel safe in? And so she explores how, like, women are sort of raised to believe that we need to be simultaneously sweet and welcoming and kind to everyone, but constantly on our guard, not open, and just abrasive. And so she explores what happens when a teen gets caught between those two socially imposed identities. And before the book begins, the main character, Annabelle, has experienced some kind of intense trauma. We don't really know what that is. But in order to deal with this trauma, she decides that she's going to run cross country from the Seattle area down to, I think it's like Boston or Washington, D.C., I can't remember, but somewhere completely on the other side of the country. And as she's running cross country, her grandfather's in an RV kind of like behind her following along to make sure she gets to the next checkpoint. But she's sorting through this trauma in her mind, and she's asking herself these questions of, did I lead this person on? Did I bring this on myself? And the questions and the answers that she kind of sorts through was just really mind-boggling, mind-opening. I hadn't considered things like that before. I really recommend this book for a variety of reasons, but it was pretty well written in terms of the thematic elements that this book introduces. So again, that's A Heart and a Body in the World by Deb Colletti.
Okay, Taurus is nothing worth having comes easy. What book exemplifies the struggle and fortitude of the bull? So I chose The Reader by Tracy Chi. This is for all you Throne of Glass people who need something else. Please, please pick something other than Sarah J. Maas. There are some other great fantasies out there, and this is a really great fantasy, but you do have to stop and think.
Yes, go ahead. No, I'm not going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Okay. It is a thinker. It's not all laid out for you. You do have to pay attention, but it is a very well-rounded book. It follows our main character, Sophia, who, and her overcomeness is her parents have both been murdered. That's not a word. Overcomeness.
I was like, I'm going to use that word. Her struggle.
Her parents have both been murdered. She watches her aunt get taken because that's her only, like, adult in her life. And then she has to find them. And on her way, she discovers that she has some powers and she kind of has to discover all that. And it is also a world where people do not read, where they just tell stories. So there's her perspective, then there's a pirate in his perspective, and she's reading the book about the pirate, but it's happening at the same time. I think people get kind of confused at the storyline is happening concurrently, but it's also happening in the future and in the past. It kind of jumps all over the place, but if you really pay attention, it is a great, great book. But yeah, that's why I chose it, because it was, you told me overcoming obstacles. I had to ask Elise what the heck Taurus is, because I didn't know. So that's my choice.
That's a good pick. My next one is for Sagittarius, and Sagittarians are a fire sign. They're fiery, they're outgoing, they're also very curious, but they're more obsessed with, like, the search for truth. They're travelers, they're obsessed with experiencing the world as a method of self-improvement and learning. So for that, I chose Saga, the graphic novel series, because it features Alana and Marco, two people from diametrically opposed cultures who have been at war with each other for like a millennia. Like, nobody remembers life before this war. They are different alien species. They're raised to hate one another, but somehow they find themselves together and they fall in love and they have a baby. So the book begins with them giving birth to their baby Hazel, and life being about, they're basically on the run because this baby shouldn't exist according to what both of them have been taught by their society. And so people now want this child for God knows why. Some people want her dead, some people want her to experiment and learn, but not in a good way. And so they travel all around the galaxy to try to keep their family together and to keep their family safe. And both of the main characters, again, Alana and Marco, are very, like, very interesting characters. Alana is, like, she's, like, either a Sagittarius or, like, an Aries. Like, she's just out there. I love her. But that's my take. It's got traveling. It's got truth seeking. It's got learning. All the things Sagittarians love.
All right, my last one is Leo, and once again, I had to ask Elise because I didn't get it. So I'll go with Elise's description because it best fits my book. And she said, over the top, likes attention, out of control story. So I chose The Alchemist of Loom by Elise Kova. I believe it's YA. It might be new adult. They are teens, but this book is crazy town.
So this book has everything.
It has everything. It has dragons that are blue. It has chimeras, and you eat a dragon's liver, and you get their power. Or
of course. Of course.
Why wouldn't you? The dragons live in the sky, and they ride machines, and they oppress the people below.
The dragons ride machines?
Yeah. Well, when they're humans.
Oh, okay.
So
they can
turn into humans. Gotcha. And but they do ride other things, which is kind of stupid because you're a dragon, you can fly. Right. I didn't even think about that till right now.
Okay. It's like a dragon is riding something? Anyway, no, yeah. That's funny. See, Leo, they just, I can already fly. I need more flying.
Oh, okay.
That's very Leo.
Perfect. And our main character is a chimera, and she kills dragons, takes their organs, and consumes them, and then she can get whatever power they had. And so a dragon comes down to her, and she's about to kill him, and he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm here to help you defeat the king. And so they kind of go on this journey to defeat the king. It sounds nutty. It is a little nutty, but it's very well written. There's some great villains in there. The world building is great. The ending was I didn't like the ending, but that was my problem. And this is my pet peeve of YA fiction that really chaps my hide. I do not know why not every YA book, but many YA books have to have a war. And the third book is the final war, and I am so over it.
Yeah.
I am over the final war trope. I can't. So at that point, I had read like several final war book, and I was just like, I can't read this anymore, and I kind of DNF'd it, but it was me being like over that trope. It was not the book's fault. The book is great.
Mm-hmm.
Ignore that cover. The cover is pretty awful.
The cover's the worst.
It looks
like
really
an
bad.
Amazon self-published.
It really does. Situation. It really does.
I was shocked to my core when I saw her reading that. Like, what made you want to pick this
It had
up?
Like a 4.5 on Goodreads. I told you.
Yeah,
I
that's,
read,
that's
Goodreads
not a cover
me
you see
to
and grab off the shelf.
No,
you know?
It's not. But yeah, ignore that cover. It's a great book.
All right, my last one is Aquarius, and this book is subtle and simple. It packs a huge punch. I also want to add that Aquarians are, like, stereotypically the social justice warriors of the Zodiac. They're, like, they, like, exemplify everything that, like, the hippie movement was about. Like, everyone's equal, peace, but progress, idealism, that kind of thing. So that's, like, Aquarius. So for that, I chose Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Rebay because this character, what's his name? Jay. He is a Filipino-American, and he learns that his cousin was murdered he was murdered in part of the drug war in the Philippines that is kind of perpetrated by President Duterte. Is that how you were saying that? Okay. I probably could have looked up a clip because this person actually existed, but I did not. Anyway, he proceeds to go on a life-changing journey where he does, you know, learn more about his home country. He does learn more about the Philippines, which is, you know, his ethnicity, and he wants to learn more about that culture. He connects with his cousin through his cousin's letters and sort of this life that his cousin lived before he was killed. It does have a tiny bit of, like, social justice in it, wherein he's trying to understand a country's struggles and find a way to discover the truth about his cousin so that he can get the word out about how, like, literally the government is killing its people without providing help or resources to people who are selling or using drugs. So it was a very good book. I just finished reading this. It was published last month in June.
We'll talk about it more.
We're going to talk about it more later. Right. So I won't say anything more, but already right off the bat, like, this is a fantastic book. If you've heard of it but didn't know if you wanted to read it, could not recommend it more. Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Rebay.
All right, that's our... I think that's it. Mm-hmm. I believe that's it.
That is it.
All right, on to
July TBR.
Which is very short. That's
very
why
short.
Our cold open was very long.
we need something we can talk about. All right, you can go first.
I'm first. Okay, so my first TBR in July. Wilder Girls by Rory Power. I'm going to predict a 3.5. This is a magical realism book, kind of, maybe? Okay, so it's about a group of girls who are quarantined in their private school on East Coast. And we don't know what their disease is. The government is still trying to figure it out. In the meanwhile, girls are dying and they get like attacks. And so out of nowhere, a girl will just have this vicious attack. And I don't remember, of course I don't remember because I didn't read it yet. But they get attacks. And so girls are kind of disappearing and dying. And But once they get taken to the infirmary and they're never seen again. And so our main character is like, what the hell is going on? I need to investigate when her friend gets taken. So it is a magical realism. It's a little, it's weird YA. And the cover is interesting.
It's the got cover a girl really that cool.
scratches across her face and there's like flowers in
it. It's like a ribbon.
Oh, it's like a ribbon.
It's like
okay.
her face is like cut out in certain areas where the ribbon is wrapping around her otherwise her face. Yeah, it's very unique. Google it.
Okay.
All right, my first July TBR is Cami Garcia's Teen Titans Raven graphic novel. This book is pretty hyped, obviously, because Cami Garcia is really well known because of her Beautiful Creatures series, and she writes something else. The 100, is that her too?
No.
Who was that?
Somebody else. Morgan, Kate Morgan.
Okay, well, my bad. But she did write the Beautiful Creatures series. I grabbed this book at ALA, so I am excited to dig into it and read it. I mostly picked it up because it's short. I don't know much about Teen Titans, however, I have started reading the first couple chapters. You don't really need to know much about Teen Titans to orient yourself in this plot, so I think this is an attempt at an origin story and kind of taking it in a different direction for, like, new readers to attract a new readership to this series. I think this book is going to be good because of the artwork, because Gabriel Piccolo does the illustrations, and he's freaking huge. Like, he has millions of followers on Instagram. His artwork is not, like, convoluted. It's just, it's really, it's in the style that I like, which is very much like Fiona Staples and Cliff Chang, who, you know, Fiona Staples did Saga, Cliff Chang did Paper Girls. I like that kind of, like, I don't know how to describe that artwork, but it's kind of similar. So I'm expecting to like this because of the artwork. I'm not necessarily expecting to like this because this is going to be a great story. So that's my prediction.
You didn't give it one.
What? I didn't give it a rating?
No.
I'm going to bump it up to a 4 for the artwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so my last book is Merciful Crow by Margaret Owen. This is about, I'm sorry, I have to think. All my books are kind of running together. A group, they're called crows, and their job is to go into villages. When villages, they'll send up a smoke signal because they have someone who is a sinner and therefore their body is plagued. And so they need to get rid of that plagued body before it spreads throughout the village. And that's their job. But they are on the bottom of the caste system. So there's 12 castes and they're on the bottom. So they are sent to the palace because a smoke signal went up to get bodies from the palace. And it turns out to be the prince and his body double. And that's all I'm going to say because the rest is spoilers. So, interesting world. I've never read anything about people having to get rid of plagues by taking bodies and burning them or anything. I mean, that's commonplace in fantasy, but I've never seen it where it's somebody's job. So, I predict a 4. It's got some pretty good reviews on Goodreads. So, we shall see.
Indeed. My next book is also about crows. Apparently crows are having a moment in
YA. Yeah, they are.
This is The Storm Crow by Kaylin Josephson. I can't say a ton about this book because I had to review it for SLJ, so spoilers, I did already read it. But it's about this country called Rodair, and their society is entirely propped up by these elemental crows, which is how Goodreads describes it. So some crows are responsible for forgery and like metalworks. Others are like for fire. Another one are the warriors. Other crows are healers, etc. It's like it's a whole kind of society, I guess, if you will, that's built around these crows and their ability. The main character's name is Anthea, and the book starts off with her country being attacked by their enemy to the north, and they destroy everything. It's not a spoiler, it's on the back of the book. And she suddenly has to step up to this responsibility that she was not ever expecting to have to be a part of. So, of course, there's, like, the who am I argument and how do I fix my home country and blah, blah, blah. I find crows, like, really gothic and interesting. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll like this. I predicted a 4-star, and that's all I'll say.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
That's it for our July teas.
Yeah. if you like what you hear, you may, please, not may, do whatever you want. You can follow us on, we are now on Google Play officially, and Apple. Spotify is still being an asshole.
Come on, Spotify.
So, there are some podcasts on Spotify, but there's like three and they're out of order. Apologies.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're in progress here.
We're working on it. We would like to do another read along with the universe. If you do not know what that is, we pick a hypey book and we read certain chapters and we discuss weekly. The last book we did was Wicked Saints. It is further down on the episode list if you want to take a look. Is there a hypey book coming? There's a lot of books coming out in September.
I think we could probably do one in September.
Yeah.
I don't have a title off the top of my head, but no. We'll figure it out.
There's a lot of hype books out there, but if you have any suggestions, please let us know.
We do have a Facebook group.
Yeah, that two people follow. But nice. You can be number 3, 4, and 5.
Join the 2. Nice.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you in the next podcast.